All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, September 30th of 2024, and looking ahead here, we have a two-game Monday Night Football main slate. We have the Titans and the Dolphins. We have the Seahawks and the Lions, and then we also have a Mets-Braves doubleheader with super huge playoff implications. And if you guys haven't been watching that game, it has been pretty crazy the last couple innings here with multiple lead changes. So tune into that game as well and catch up with the action. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and wanting to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days and get your questions answered. But it is a Monday here. And on Mondays, we announce the winners for our weekly max challenge here. And we got a pretty cool announcement here for you guys again this week. We had another winner. So we have won the flagship mini max 3 weeks in a row. And the only other week, we finished in fourth place. So SaberSim users are absolutely crushing the mini max here. Super, super cool to see. So why don't we get up our max challenge page here, and let's talk about prizes here. So for winning the mini max, the winner is going to win a championship belt custom. We will get that over to them. Also going to get a free hoodie, entry into our end of the season free roll. And that winner was Mathis, finishing first place, 231.86 points. So congratulations to Mathis there on the takedown. Awesome stuff. And then we are going to grab all of the people who participated in this week's Max Challenge. Looks like 289 people there. Going to jump over to the Wheel of Names. And let's replace this with our new list. So 289 gets updated right here. Going to click shuffle a couple times. And we're going to spin to see who gets free entry into next week's Minimax. JLee7337 is our free entrant winner for this week. So let me get that updated right here. JLee7337. Congratulations. So congratulations to both of the winners. Appreciate everybody who is continuing to participate each and every week. We appreciate you guys. And something I just wanted to do here is I want to see something. I'm actually curious about how this ends up working out. So maybe some of you other people here are curious as well. So let's get SaberSim up. And let's go and see how many entries are in the flagship Minimax. So it's more just curiosity than anything. All right. So the 150 max Minimax, 356,000 entries. Okay. So then if you take the 289 people that played, multiply it by 150. This is assuming that everyone played the flagship, not any of the other smaller ones, which there are plenty of them, right? SaberSim users are taking up about 43,000 entries. Now, the contest has 356,000. So then you do 356,000, we'll just round, divided by 43,000. Oh, it's because I had that multiplication there still. So let's clear this. 356, 123, divided by 43. 1, 2, 3. Is that right? No, maybe my math's wrong. Maybe I need to flip that. Okay, that looks more right. So SaberSim users are taking up about 12% of entries in that contest. So that means that, you know, there's about almost like a 1 in 10 chance of SaberSim user winning the contest. And the fact that we've won 3 weeks in a row is like pretty crazy, right? So that's just assuming all the players in the contest are of equal skill, right? So I think that, you know, there's something to be said about, one, just like the users in our community, two, the tool, and, you know, just having an edge by using SaberSim, you know, probably makes the win probability go up, you know, significantly, right? So I think it's pretty cool to watch, and I hope to continue to see the binks happening each and every week. But again, congratulations to the winners. Our support team will reach out to you, and we will get you your prizes. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim up. And you know what? Let's get some questions here in the queue as well. Forgot to do that. And we'll start answering some questions. So plenty to talk about on Mondays. Also a reminder that we do have our build review show going live at 5 p.m. Eastern today. Only one person signed up so far. Usually we have a lot of people coming in after the weekend signing up right away, but been a little bit slow. So if anybody wants me to review their builds from this past Sunday, drop your DK username in the Office Hours channel in Discord, and I will make sure to get to you there. But that would be great. All right. So got a couple in the Discord. One from Gonzo. One from Bills. And then one from Great White Shark, which it looks like somebody answered already. We'll still cover it here on the show. So appreciate Bulldog getting back to Great White Shark there. And then we got a couple questions here in the YouTube chat, at least one from Deshaun. So plenty to talk about. Let's jump right in. Let's get SaberSim up. And first question, how do you know whether or not to late swap with large batch entries? I don't think I can check each lineup. So there's two approaches to late swap. Okay. So the first one is if you're on Ultimate, right? You have access to the live contest sims, right? So with the live contest sims, you also get access to the live contest data. Now, let's say that tonight, you know, Devon Achane is projected for about 60% ownership, right? Well, let's say that he actually comes in at like 75%, right? Well, where did that other 15% come from? It had to come from somebody with running back eligibility, probably, unless it was like flex ownership, but we'll leave flex out of this for simplification. So that 15%, right, where did it come from? That probably means that other running backs, possibly in the later game, are going to come in lower owned, right? Maybe we have Gibbs at 43. Well, Achane takes that extra 15%. Well, maybe it's, you know, Gibbs is going to come in. Makes Gibbs a much better value since less people. Since less people are rostering Gibbs, right? So if you're on Ultimate, you should basically always late swap in between games to take advantage of differences in ownership, to take advantage of how the players have done to that point in the game. You know, first quarter touchdowns are not uncommon, right? You know, maybe Geno throws a long one to DK Metcalf. We've seen that a ton of times, right? So if, you know, DK Metcalf projected for 14 points has a 50-yard touchdown in the first quarter, well, he's already gotten, you know, at least 12 points. And, you know, his projection for the rest of the game is not to get, you know, another two. It's his projection probably goes way, way up. Right. And we are accounting for that. We're saying, okay, DK scored in the first quarter. You know, this is the score. This is the, how much time is left in the game. Let's update the projections for this information. So you get access to all of that. So you want to take as much advantage of that as possible. So I would always be late swapping, especially on Ultimate. Now, if you are not on Ultimate, right, what I would be looking for are significant projection changes either, there's two places you can get them. Number one, you can get them in the app. So if you come up here to the bell, the notification bell, you can click the gear icon and you can set up notifications, right? So notification if a player goes to zero. And then there's also one for significant projection changes. You turn this on. Let's say we run Sims and a player's projection moves by whatever percentage you set here, right? You're going to get notified. You're going to get an in-app notification. And then if you have mobile notifications on, you're also going to get a ping on your lock screen, right? If you have that all set up, where we will tell you, hey, so-and-so's projection changed by more than the band that you set. And then the last place to see those changes would also be in the Discord and the NFL lineup alert channels when Sims run and players move by, you know, I believe it's like plus or minus 2 points or maybe even plus or minus 1 point. We might just do it for everybody above 1 point. You'll be able to see those changes as well summarized under the completed Sim. So basically what that'll look like is this, and I can just show it here. 1 second, let me get one up from the weekend. All right, hold on. I like so much stuff here. All right, so in the Discord, right, this is for college football for the week from the weekend, right? You see this significant projection changes. Looks like Latrell got ruled out, somebody else got ruled out, and then some other players' projections moved up, right? So this is it also works for NFL as well. So you can see these changes and see how players are moving up and down. You know, we have it for NBA, et cetera, here. So that's what you want to be looking out for. But the in-app notifications are cool, especially like if you're on the go and you want to do the mobile and you have it up on your phone, that's great. So that is when I would be late swapping. If I was not on Ultimate, I would only be late swapping if I got news of significant projection changes. All right. Next question. I know it's based on my personal comfort and risk tolerance, but with the new updates to SaberSim, what is the consensus about how many mini uniques to set for a classic NFL main slate? I don't hear Jordan pushing mini uniques as much as he used to. Is that because the update has done a good job of diversifying and it's not necessary, or is it still considered more optimal to use them? Yeah, there's been like a lot of questions around this topic. We're probably going to be putting out, you know, some more information kind of around this because it is a little bit of like a departure from some of our previous content. So I don't know if you guys are going to be like seeing a video or, you know, we're going to talk about it in our new DFS Digest newsletter. If you guys have seen that from last week, you know, we're going to keep doing those. But it really comes down to, in my opinion, you know, mini uniques are still valuable, right? There's always going to be variance in DFS, in outcomes and projections and all of these things. And you want to kind of guard against those outcomes, right? You want to protect yourself. Because if you knew exactly what was going to happen and the projections were what the players actually scored, then no, you wouldn't want to use them. You want to play the best lineup over and over and over again. But we don't have, you know, a crystal ball, right? We can't do that. So we want to protect ourselves from variance in player results. So mini uniques are still important. Now, the contest sim changes that we made helped the pool of lineups that gets shown to you afterwards to be more unique without you having to set that number right away. So basically the exposures aren't as concentrated right away. And that's due to the changes that were made, right? But we still think you should use them. And really your best measuring stick for using them is going to be if you're on Ultimate, I would say how much ROI are you sacrificing? And then on non-Ultimate, I would say how much average projection you're sacrificing, right? So what I always recommend is to, you know, run your sim or use your Saber score sorting metric and then come into the aggregate metrics and then set one up for average projection and slash or set one up for average ROI. We'll let this contest sim finish and then I'll set that up. So I'll set this finish running. All right. Finish now. Contest sim. Average ROI. So now I have these two metrics. And by the way, this will be true for late swap. This will be true for pre-build. You kind of want to analyze this the same way. So here, I'm going to note what these numbers are. And then also, you know, another thing that you can do, right, is pay attention to your exposures, your leverages. Make sure that, you know, you're getting to sets of lineups that you're comfortable with the risk that you're taking on a player-by-player level. Now, ownership, I mean, exposures are going to be more concentrated on a two-game slate, so that this is going to be kind of okay. Ownerships are going to be high for players, but on a big main slate, it's going to be different, right? So there's always some nuances there. So then now I'm going to start increasing my uniques, right? Go from 1 to 2. My ROI went down pretty significantly, right? I mean, look, ROI goes from 131 at min unique of 1 to 97 at min unique of 2. And my average projection went down about 0.7 points. Now, I need to decide, is it worth it to me to do that? And in my opinion, on this two-game slate, the answer would be no, right? I'm just sacrificing way too much ROI for my own comfort, right? And I'm not worried about the exposures. They look okay to me. But maybe you're like, you know what? I never like to play somebody in, you know, 90% of my lineup. So I want to bring those numbers down. Like those exposure numbers matter to me more than anything. Well, that's okay, right? If you want to bring down the exposure and you're okay sacrificing the ROI to do that, then that is, you know, your choice, right? That goes back to a conscious decision that you're making. But all in all, diversification is still important because we don't know exactly how many points players are going to score. So use it, but don't sacrifice too much ROI or too much projection to do so is the overarching theme there. So that's kind of why. All right, next question. A very basic question about the SaberSim app build process for, say, 500 to 5,000 lineups. With no rules, does the app function as an optimizer in how it decides to construct that large pool for a user? Example, attempting to create the highest projected 9 players grouped together within the salary limits established. What is the most elemental explanation for the logic that it uses to come up with that pool? Okay, good question. So by default, the answer is going to be no, okay? You can achieve this outcome, the one you're describing, by changing SaberSim's build mode in the settings icon from sim to optimizer. Our optimizer mode works to solve a knapsack problem of packing in the most projected points possible under the salary cap, okay? So that is, you know, traditional optimizer 101, right? What we do different is our sim mode does not work like that. And the biggest thing to understand is going to be our sim diversity slider. This sim diversity slider basically determines how many sims we use each time we build your lineup. So our projections that you see here in the app, these are the average points that each player scores across all of the game sims for the game. So say we have 5,000 game sims, right? This 18.91 for Achan is his average outcome across the 5,000, okay? In optimizer mode, we use this number, 18.91. In sim mode, we do not use this number. We use a different number. And that number comes from sim diversity. So sim diversity, the higher it is, the less sims we are using each time we build your lineup. So we said we had 5,000. We might only use 5 game sims. So we are randomly going to pick five game sims out of our 5,000. We play those out. We see how many points the player scores. And then we average that. And that is their new projection. So say he scores 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. We add those up. We divide by five. I'm pretty sure the average would be 30. So then, okay, in this set of sims, Achan scored 30 points. That gets analyzed with all the other player outcomes. And then we build the best lineup possible. We put that lineup into your pool. And then we go in and we get five new sims. And then maybe he scores, you know, something that comes out to an average of 10 points. Well, then at 10 points, he gets analyzed. Maybe that's not high enough to get into this lineup. Maybe there are other good options. So then he gets left out of that lineup. And then that second lineup goes into your pool. And we just do that over and over and over again until your pool is complete. So this sim diversity is why you don't get the highest projected lineups each time you build. It's also why SaberSim users don't all get the same lineup each time they build, because when we are randomly sampling all the games and all the different sim combinations, there's just exponentially high number of combinations that you can come up with. So hope that was clear. If it wasn't, happy to go over it again. Let me know. All right. Jumping over to the YouTube chat, question from Deshaun. Do you think using the dupes to filter out lineups for NFL Showdown and for these two game slates is a good idea? I would say yes. I actually think duplication is very important in two game slates, right? More important than people realize. You know, you can go back and look, right? Like we go back to last Monday and we go back to the 23rd. We go back to Monday and then we go to contests. So, you know, let's say we go back and look at the flagship from last Monday's two game slate, right? Well, you come in here and we'll let this load. I could have picked a smaller contest. All right, let's try and help the builder out a little bit. We'll hard refresh and we'll load it up one more time. Okay, it loaded. Cool. App's moving a little slow. Okay, great. So let's go and look at people who max this out. We go to average dupes, right? So this is the 150 maxers. And even if I sort by sim ROI, we can see that average dupes like does come into play. People with 11 average dupes, 9 average dupes, 7, 6, 13, right? If I sort by average dupes, some people are entering lineups with 50, with 40, with 30, with 20. So two game slates, duplication is going to be very, very important. So I would definitely be accounting for it, but we can see it in last week's results, right? That's basically what I was trying to get across. All right, couple questions from Trevor. Hi, I'm a new user of SaberSim since I've been focusing on ROI. Using contest sims, my win rates have fallen from just focusing on the Saber score. What are your thoughts on changing the scores of the games in the game tabs? Thanks for taking the time to answer questions. Looking forward to using the tool more. Awesome. Yeah, happy to answer any questions that you have here. No problem. All right, so let's go back to today. So let's talk about the game totals. So I'm totally fine with changing them. The question is, why are you changing them, right? What have you researched or done to lead you to feel that it is necessary to change them? Anytime you make changes, you want to analyze them either after a slate or whenever, to make sure that you're making changes that are helping you more than hurting you, right? So anytime I make a change, you know, I do a slot for like NBA, and maybe I think players are going to play less or more or less minutes, I'll write those down on a sheet. And then the next day I go back like, hey, did they actually do this? Yes or no? And I'm more concerned about, you know, if I'm making a minute change, I want to check their minutes. I don't actually care how they did in the game, right? I'm not changing their fantasy points per minute. I'm leaving that to SaberSim. I just want to know, did they play more or less than I projected, right? And that's an objective way of analyzing it. If you're making game total changes and you're making, say, you're making a lot of them, you should be tracking those, right? Like, hey, I moved Miami from 20 to 23. You know, how many points did they actually score? I moved Detroit from 26 to 24. How many points did they actually score? And then you track those and you get a good enough sample. And it's like, okay, you know, I'm basically breaking even. And then you can decide, well, do I like doing this? Or, you know, can I get that time back and get like some life EV out of that? Am I actually, you know, right? Like 70% of the time, and this is actually very, very helpful. Am I wrong? And I'm coming in at like 40%, and am I hurting my lineups? Right. You need to be able to, be honest with yourself. And the only way to do that is to track it and, you know, see where you're coming in, like a percentage, right? So that's what I would recommend doing. Try that out, and it should help you to figure out if changing the games is working. Again, it's a fine strategy if you're right more than you're wrong. All right, good stuff there. Looks like we're caught up here in the YouTube chat. Gonna hop back over to the Discord. See if we have any additional questions. And not seeing any. So want to remind everybody that we do have our build review show going live in about 30 minutes here. Only one person signed up today. So if anybody wants to sign up, now is a good time to do it. Drop your DK username in the office hours channel in our Discord server. And I will see you all in about 30 minutes. So until then, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.